If you have a Bible, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 23? And then I'm going to read a passage from Genesis chapter 37. Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Then from Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. I want to use as my subject tonight a profile of greatness. A profile of greatness. The story of Joseph is one of the great chapters in the human history books. For unlike many, Joseph received his wake-up call early in his life. He was not like the thief on the cross, who, having spent all of his energy, life, and resources in pursuit of evil, would suddenly receive his wake-up call at the moment of his death. Too late to serve. No, Joseph would be a prototype of Christ. He would be sensitive to and responsive to the call that would come to him while he was still in his youth. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why he is given such a large portion in the book of the beginnings, so that we might know those who reach great heights, we need to go back and examine their beginnings. It's in the bosom of everybody to want to be great at something. And that's not a bad desire, because we all should aspire to want to be great at something. But greatness isn't reached easily. It's like the poet has told us, Longfellow, when he wrote, "The heights of great men reached and kept were not achieved by single flight. But they, while their companions slept, kept toiling upward in the night." And those who had arrived at what we call greatness just kept toiling upward in the night. They had problems, but they didn't stop. They had trials, but they didn't complain. They had setbacks, but they refused to throw in the towel and quit. They just did what Joseph did. They dared to put their faith to work and believe, if they were willing to be responsive to God, that God would honor their life and their consecration, and he would cause whatever they touched to be blessed. The reason I'm so intrigued with Joseph's profile, there could be many others, is because of his youth. He was so mature to be so young. He recognized early that the best way to have a good life is to have a good beginning. So he started early working on his beginnings. And I want to point out to you some of the things that are in this profile. Some of the things which, if we take to ourselves, we can develop a life like Joseph did. He developed a life of usefulness in the hands of God. He'd develop a life he could look back on and feel proud about, because anybody that wants to make anything of his life or her life ought to take a look at the ends so that they can map out a strategy that is designed to take them there, so that all of their steps, all their decisions are made to lead them in one direction toward that end. And the end for Joseph was service. That's what his life was all about. Friend, is that what your life is all about? Service to God, to your family, to your community. That's what his life was all about. Joseph was devoted to serving, and as a consequence, he climbed to great heights. Let me tell you some of the ladders, the rungs on the ladder that he reached as he's moving toward a life of service to God. The first thing that stands out and blesses me about Joseph is that he was obedient. Now mark this well. He was obedient to the family standards established by his father. He was obedient to the family standards established by his father. When you begin reading Joseph's biography here in the 37th chapter of Genesis, what is it that leaps out and grabs you at the end of the second verse? After he begins to explain to us, he's going to talk about the generations of Jacob. He then makes this statement. The biographer says this about Joseph. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. There is a sign of greatness there. Because Joseph had been hobnobbing with his brothers, with his stepbrothers by two different mothers. And in listening to them, he heard them talking about the wrong, lest they go too far. Now keep in mind, that's one of the things that we find Job did. Scriptures tell us that Job got up every day and offered a sacrifice to God, lest his children go too far and get beyond the realm of sensitivity to what's right. I admire Joseph. When you read this, you might want to say, well, Joseph was a tattletaler. No, he was not a tattletaler. Joseph probably knew what a lot of us forget. We are responsible for each other. And when we see one of our own going too far, we cannot remain silent in the face of evil about to happen. No, Joseph would appeal to his father. That's the highest authority he knew. Don't you wish Boesky had had a Joseph in his life so that he would have not have plunged his whole nation's saving industry into ruin? Don't you wish Nixon had had a Joseph in his life? We would not have had Watergate. I would to God that many of the people that I have known had had a Joseph in his life. Because if Rodney King had had a Joseph, he would have never put innocent lives at risk as he sped across the highway. And if Coon had had a Joseph in his life, he would have never taken upon himself to be judge and jury and beat a man almost to death. We can be the means by which people's souls are delivered from evil intention if we will just hold them accountable to the standards that Dad established, or that our Father in heaven laid down. That's a tough role, because to fulfill that role, you've got to be more committed to wanting to be right than liked. And the reason some people will never reach greatness is they care more about being liked than they care about being right. And Joseph had his values together. And when I read it, I said, oh God, no wonder he became great in the eyes of God. He believed more than anything else that he had to be obedient to the family's standards. And in Jacob's family, evil was off limits. He had trained his son well, and thank God his son was fulfilling a role that his brothers were not wise enough to give him thanks. Let me tell you the second thing that I find in this young man's life that represents a profile of greatness. He was not only obedient to the family standards,
He lived by the family rules and followed the guidelines that came from one whose life had been tested. But number two, he was obedient to the task of thinking through revelations. He didn't just run away from things that God revealed, because God has always had a way of speaking to us when we were least resistant to the ideas. That's the reason we find in verse 5, it says, and Joseph dreamed the dream. Now, God will often say things to you that you've been pondering all day long, but your conscious mind has been resisting for a variety of reasons. But when you go to sleep, he can talk without interruption. And God talks often to us in our dreams. It's almost as though God said, I'll finish the conversation when you go to sleep. But God gave Joseph a dream. And Joseph saw something. He saw his sheaves in the field rise up and stand up straight. And he saw the other sheaves around bending and bowing. And he was awakened. And he dreamed another dream. And in that dream, God continued to, he saw the sun and the moon and the 11 stars making worshipful responses to him. And he said, what is this? One of the things that mark greatness is the willing to pursue understanding. Because understanding is everything. If you don't understand the purpose of your body, you'll misuse it. If you don't understand the purpose of your hands, you'll misuse them. If you don't understand the purpose of money, you'll abuse it. Understanding is everything. And Joseph stayed with the mystery until God gave him clarity. That takes a tough-minded young man to do that. He did not understand immediately. So first he went to his father, his brothers, and told them about the dream. They saw the meaning clearly and understood that God was going to promote him over them, and they didn't like that. And then he went and told it to his father, and even he had a rather negative response. What do you mean? I'm the head. Are you going to supplant me? I guess Jacob would worry about that. He did do that, didn't he? No. You see, when our lives are committed to obey the Lord, God will promote whom he chooses when he wants to. Because God does not bow to age. And he doesn't bow to the birth order. He doesn't bow to resources. God uses those who humble themselves, and he exalts them in due time. That's the reason why I've always believed if you want to be great, there's plenty of room to be great in this world, because you can become a drum major for God. You can serve, because greatness is reached through service. And the people who serve well become great in the eyes of God and greatly used by God. There's nobody I've seen that couldn't be great if they were willing to pay the price to be obedient to the Lord and commit their lives to service. Joseph was prepared to be obedient, to think through the understandings of God's purpose for his life. And young people, if you don't find anything else in life, please search for that early in life, so you can devote yourself to it and have a lifetime to enjoy it. Don't let the cancer of evil and disobedience eat up your strength. Give your life to God while you're young. Don't let this world out there fool you and make you think virginity is a thing of the past. It's still a royal virtue, a prized gift. While you're young, understand what you can bring to life if your heart is clean. You can give life your very best. Well, I'm so grateful that Joseph was willing to think through the mystery of the revelation until he grasped an understanding of God's mission, God's purpose for my life. And even though others didn't like it, God was doing it. And when God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody can stop you from fulfilling God's dream if you will be obedient to the Lord. Number three, there's a third aspect to this profile. He was obedient to an assignment. It was a rather unattractive assignment. In fact, it wasn't a glorious assignment at all. The father just told Joseph, go see how your brothers are doing. That's not likely to attract much attention. Just going and seeing how your brothers are doing. But Joseph took off running to find his brethren, and he got lost and he couldn't find them, and he saw a stranger, and to show you how determined he was to be true to his assignment, he asked the stranger, have you seen my brother? He said, yes, they've gone to Dothan, and off to Dothan he took. He could have easily have said, hey, Dad, I went out and I looked and I didn't see nobody, and so I came back. I don't know where they are. But not Joseph. His father gave him the assignment. It was a trust. Now, young people, if you really want to be great, never violate your parents' trust. It becomes a compass to understanding what's in your heart, the kind of character you have. Every assignment is to be taken seriously because we are building something as we are faithful to doing little things. And what are we building? We're building confidence in those who trusted us. And the more faithful we are to our assignments, the more trust they give. And as you keep walking with God, he keeps taking you from one level to another level to another level to another level. One of the things I found out when I first finished school at Kent State University was in 1958. My desire was to go into education. And at the time, it wasn't very easy for African Americans to break into education in our town. It wasn't easy at all. The town was known as being quite difficult to get into, and particularly if you were a person of color. Well, I thought I'd have kind of an edge because I grew up in that town, everybody knew me, and so when I graduated, I went down. I got treated very politely, but the door was closed. I remember walking away and saying, well, I'll go to grad school and work on a graduate degree in education, which I did. And while I'd accumulated 30 hours toward my master's degree in education, then a call came from Detroit with a contract, offering me a contract to teach there, and I went to Detroit and taught. Now watch this. In the fullness of time, the door that was closed in my hometown, I went to Detroit. God called me in Detroit to ministry. I left Detroit. I went to Anderson to the School of Theology. While I was there, I had three calls to go back to my church I just left in Detroit, where Dr. Massey was a pastor. I had an opportunity to plant a new church in Louisville, Kentucky. My father was ill, and I felt a call to go back my home in order to help him for a year, and then we would move on wherever God would lead us. And in going back home to help him, he would become so ill that he would resign. And the church, liking so much his ministry and knowing what a great work he did, decided they'd take a risk on his son. And they elected me as their pastor. Now, a young man who was blocked at one stage from being able to go into the institution which I was hoping to be my life's vocation, God gave a sudden turn to his life. And he ends up back in the same city, but now he's a pastor. And as he just keeps doing what God says do, God's favor comes and he starts moving up. Trust, confidence, so much so that when a crisis came in the community, people came and literally drafted me to run for the school board. I didn't want to do it. But I did it. And the same guy that couldn't get a job is now president of that school board. The same guy who couldn't earn a salary now controls the salary of all of them. If you ask me how in the world did that happen, I've got one explanation. If you will be faithful in little things, God will promote you to greater things. And the most difficult thing for a lot of people to recognize, especially a lot of young people, they want instant success. And friends, it doesn't come that way. Mushrooms you can get instantly, but they don't live long, do they? No, just make up your mind. You're going to be a mighty oak for God. It's going to take years of just being faithful in little things. No limelight. No, nobody patting you on the back. No great crowds coming and no great accolades from the community, but you're just there doing the best job you know how to do for God, because you're not doing it for the praise of men, you're doing it for the glory of God, and God takes people like that, and he blesses them marvelously. Just being true to an assignment. Joseph was true. Number four, he was obedient to his faith in God's providential love. He was obedient to his faith in God's providential love. You want to be great? You got to believe. No matter what happens, he will care for me. He will care for me. No matter. What happens to Joseph? Everything bad that can happen to a person, it happened to Joseph. But notice, there's no complaining, there's no grumbling, there's no fault finding, there's no cursing at God. Joseph just learns how to do what Isaiah says the eagle learns how to do. How do the eagles reach great heights? They wait for the wind. That's what they do. Because we know they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up. And watch it. They put him down and God lifted him up. They put him down and God lifted him up. They put him down and God lifted him up. Watch that. They stripped him and God clothed him. They stripped him again. God clothed him with more honor. They stripped him again. God put him over the nation. Friends, that's not just a story in a man's life. That's biblical truth. If you believe in the providential love of God, I don't care what the devil does. God will make a way for you. If you believe in the providential care of God, you let the enemies do all they want to out there. God will make them your footstool. No matter what happens, he will care for me. He will care for me. One of my stories that I've told a lot, and some of you may have heard it, but one year, I was flying into Pittsburgh International Airport, and as we were approaching the landing, the pilot said some words that got all of our attention. He said, "We're having some mechanical difficulties." And with those simple words, you know, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Everything got quiet. It was almost reverentially quiet on that plane. And there was a nun sitting next to me. And we'd had a conversation generally as we were in flight. But when he said we're having mechanical difficulties with our landing gear, she reached down into her bag and she pulled out her rosary. And I saw her lips starting to move quite rapidly as she's going through each of these beads. And I saw her doing that, and I thought, well, honey, if you can get through one of those men, get through. And she's just going through these bees. She's calling all these saints off. So I decided this is a time for meditation. This is a time for prayer. So I kind of settled back in my seat, in all honesty. And because it was winter, when the plane hit the ground, it sashayed from one side of the runway to the next. And it looked as though we were going to go over an embankment at the end of the runway. You know how it is when you're down on the ground, you keep rolling, you keep rolling, you keep thinking now it's time to stop. But yet they were having mechanical difficulties, but they didn't tell us the brakes weren't working and the landing gear had frozen. And so the plane was just moving down the runway. And all of a sudden I said, "Help!" Have you ever done something that you didn't realize you were going to do? And after you did it, you felt pretty stupid? But I sure said it. I said, "Help!" But you know what? That plane stopped. And I settled back in my chair, squared off my shoulders, and looked at the sister. And I said, I had clearance to go directly to the main pilot. And a crisis, can't fool around with Peter, James, and John. You want Jesus at a time like that. And you know, as I walked through that jetway, literally, it was as though God had blessed me royally. And I start singing that song. No matter what happens, He will care for me. And you know what? He will care for you. And He'll care for you. You can't stop the world from stripping you of something that's very dear to you. And you can't stop the world from putting you in holes. But let them strip. Because God is in the clothing business. He'll clothe you with more honor than you ever dared dream. And I don't care what hole they put you in, He'll lift you to higher positions than you could ever imagine. Last but not least, Joseph was obedient to the law of the greater good. What are you going to do with your life? I'm going to pursue a course marked the greater good. Because in every human experience, God will always give you an alternative to anger and to hate. In every human experience, it doesn't matter what it is, He'll give you a way of being redemptive, even towards those who have wounded you. It's no wonder this man has chapters in the Bible. He's got a heart that's so big, so wide, that God is able to occupy his spirit, so much so that now that the Pharaoh himself has put him over his kingdom, now that Pharaoh has recognized what Potiphar failed to recognize, that there's something great in this man, his brothers come looking for food. And let me tell you, you can always tell when a person has a spirit of greatness. You know it by how they use their power. You know it by how they use their power. A man that will use his power to beat a woman is no man at all. Parents who will just neglect their children are no parents at all. How you use your power. The CEO who has no concern for the well-being of his employees is no real man at all or woman at all. No, how you use your power defines your character. And Joseph had power. So much so that Pharaoh told him, except for the one on the throne, your authority is sovereign. And so all Joseph had to do when his brothers came, he could have said, send them away. And who in Egypt would have blamed him? Nobody. But there was something else in Joseph. It was the Spirit of God. And Joseph saw his brothers in need, the ones who had wounded him. And I won't go through the whole story, but I like what he said over in about verse 45. He said, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. He followed the course, saying, I'm going to do what I understand is the greater good. And I'm going to bless and curse not. I'm going to heal and not wound. I'm going to forgive and not strike out against. You want to be great? make a commitment. God, I want to follow the course called the greater good. And I'm going to commit my life to doing good. I don't care where good appears. For if somebody is in need, serve them. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him water. If he's naked, clothe him. That's the teaching of our master. And how do we achieve this greatness? We achieve it on our knees in prayer. That's how we achieve it. We achieve it through a life of honesty, saying, God, forgive me for not following a course marked the greater good. How do we achieve it? We achieve it like Joseph. We become committed to wanting to do right, and God will do something marvelous. He will cause you to forget the pain that others caused you. Joseph said, I will remember their sins no more. That's marvelous. I'd like to ask you to do something tonight. I believe there's a young boy, young woman, and there's a man, woman, who's been toying with God's call to service, to ministry. And you haven't said yes to God. I believe there's somebody that God has called to missionary service, called to support the work of your church, called to be, if nothing else, a help to your pastor and wife. And you haven't done it. You have just hindered your opportunity to move toward greatness. He who is great is he who serves. And one who is willing to be obedient, God will promote them and cause them to prosper and cause them to remember the pain no more. I'm going to ask as we sing a hymn, there may be some of you who'd like to come and kneel in prayer. In fact, I wrote a hymn down here, Brother Paul, if I could find it. Open my eyes. I don't know if you know that one. That I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. And if we don't know the words to that, then I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Because God is wanting to make a difference in the conditions of this world, but he needs somebody who will say, God, here am I. Send me. Send me. I'll go. And would you come and make a commitment to God, to that service, or to that greatness in terms of the greater good, to the assignment, to the family values, to the providential care? And watch how God will bless your life and use you. As we sing, we're going to ask you all to stand now. Just feel free to come down front. Would you do that? Just come on down front. If there's a young person who's thinking about ministry, let me encourage you. Have faith in God. He'll put you in some of the most unlikely places. And just ask you to do one thing. Be faithful. Be faithful. And it's amazing how he'll bless your life with things material goods could never compensate. But it takes someone who's willing to kind of sell out for God, to just say yes to God. And remember, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Who will help you develop character traits of greatness? God will. And you'll never finish in this job. Because it's always ongoing. You're always working at it, trying to get it a little better, a little better, a little better. But that's how we grow. And that's how we get so tall in God. As we sing this next verse, if there's someone here, and we won't prolong the service, would really like to come and seal in prayer a commitment to the Lord, would you please come, that he might use your life in his kingdom.
Thank you, Pastor Fowler, for wonderful message. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the greatness that you gave to Joseph. Thank you, Lord, for the example that he has set for us. Help us, Lord, to be humble. Help us, Lord, to be servants. Thank you, Lord, that we can go forward as servants of you now. And even though the world tears us apart for living for you, Lord Jesus, you exalt us. Help us to continue to exalt you. In Jesus' name.